Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I know that if we were together, there would be a way for us to honor tangibly the moms of our congregation. But I thank you, God, that we can still honor across the miles. We can still say thank you to our moms. And even for those who've had very negative experiences with their moms, at least they could say thank you for allowing me to be born and allowing me to come to Christ by allowing me to be born. Thank you. And Lord, I pray that as we share today, I'm looking forward to this message and praying that you would be glorified through it. In Jesus' name, amen. This past January, I preached a message entitled, Finish the Task. It came from Paul's instructions at the end of Colossians chapter 4 to Archippus. And Paul said to Archippus, I want you to finish the ministry the Lord has given you. And that scripture resonated with me because I believe the Lord was saying to our congregation as a whole and to us as individuals, you too have some tasks that need to be finished. It's possible that Archippus had started them, but he just never brought them to completion. They were left unfinished. And I know that what God was laying on my heart is there are some things that need to be done as a church that have been simmering on the back burner that we know we need to get to. There's some things in our own lives that God was saying, you got to get to these because you can't move to the next level with me. You can't move into the next phase of what I have for you because these things are holding you back. Little did I know that a few months later, we'd be in the middle of a pandemic where every distraction was taken away. All those things that could have taken our time are gone. It's as if the Lord has given us the gift of time to be able to take these projects and bring them to completion. And I've been hearing some folks that are doing that very thing. They're calling me or telling me that they're taking this time and they're seeking to be a good steward of the time that's given to them to be able to get caught up. I look at it this way. It's like a surfer. You know, a surfer goes to the beach to ride a wave. The surfer doesn't get there and say, oh, there's a wave. I suppose I should get my surfboard, wax it, and get it ready to ride it. If the surfer waited for that to be done, the surfer would miss the wave. I believe that there is an awakening coming and that God wants us to get done. And I know in my own heart over the last couple of months, I've been seeking the Lord to be obedient. Some of you know that I've had boxes in my office in the corners. They're gone. I just have one table left of things that need to be organized and taken care of, working on that. Hopefully, we'll have that finished by the end of the week. I've also been working on a file for the sermons that I've preached, putting together a database. Now, that may seem like a crazy thing to do during your time here, but what happened is when I was just getting started in ministry, I was in, I've been in my late teens, early 20s. My first pastor said to me, because he knew I was going into ministry, he said, I want to challenge you to put together a file system of all your sermons. And the reason he said I do that is he said it's important for pastors to preach the whole counsel of God. Sometimes what happens, pastors get comfortable with certain passages of Scripture. They're the ones they go to. They're the ones they're passionate about. Say, for example, Romans 8. If you love Romans 8 as a pastor, and you preach it, and you preach it, your people will be challenged and encouraged from Romans chapter 8. But there's 1,188 other chapters in the Bible that are also inspired by God. Also useful for teaching and correcting and encouraging and exhorting and rebuking and training in righteousness. And so I've been working on it. I'm about 75% of the way through. You got to remember, I preached my first sermon when I was 17. So that's 42 years of sermons. So that's a lot of years to database. But as I said, I'm a little over 3/4 of the way through. Hopefully have that done the end of the week. Now, I say all that to say this. Today's Mother's Day. And as I was thinking about the service and thinking about the message, I thought, I wonder what I've preached on in previous Mother's Days. And so because I've been databasing everything, I went back in, made a few clicks, checked some files. I went, huh. And what I discovered is that some of the time, Mother's Day, we had women's ministries run the service. They did some dramas, they did some testimonies, and they did a great job. Then there were some times men's ministries stepped in and gave the women the day off. We fed them breakfast, and then we shared our testimonies. about our moms. Sometimes we had guest speakers. 4 years ago, Minnie Pearl joined us. I mean, not really Minnie Pearl, but my mother playing Minnie Pearl. And for those of us who are here, you cannot forget her coming down the aisle, wearing that Minnie Pearl dress and that Minnie Pearl hat with a little price tag going, "Howdy!" She just brought the house down and she shared pearls of wisdom. But of course, over the years that I've been here, I preached a few messages on Mother's Day as well. And I went back and checked. The first one I ever preached was 1991, May of 1991. I had come here in August of 1990, so it would have been that first Mother's Day I was here. Preached a message entitled, "A Tribute to Mothers." And I went into the scripture and I wanted to see what does the Bible have to say about mothers. And so I preached on that. A year later, I wanted to challenge the belief that motherhood was a secondary calling. I know sometimes moms that don't work feel like, well, I'm just sort of like mother second class. But I wanted you to understand in that message that motherhood is a holy calling given by God. We saw in the opening scripture I read from Ephesians 6 about how we're to honor our father and mother. And it's the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you, that you may enjoy long life on the earth. And then there was a time that I preached a message called "What Mom Did Right." So often people want to say, well, if mom had done this better, and if mom had done that, well, I wanted to stress some things that mom did right. And then a couple of times I went in a little bit of a different direction, and I picked on individual moms in scripture. For example, I preached one message called "Mary's Bum Rap." I know as Protestants, we sometimes get a little uncomfortable when it comes to Mary, like, oh, I don't want to worship her. But sometimes we go too far the other way, and we don't honor her as the scripture does. And then 1 year I did a message called "Mother of the Year," and I recognized that in our congregation, we had some moms that were single moms. Well, I picked on Hagar from Genesis and looked at what she did as a mom for her son Ishmael. And then we had some moms in our congregation that were Christian moms with non-Christian husbands. And they had to do it by themselves, like Eunice did for Timothy. And so we did that message that was Mothers of the Year. For my 10th anniversary, I preached a message called "The Heart of a Mother." And I took a look at some examples in Scripture about different moms and what different aspects of the heart of God they revealed. On my 20th anniversary, I preached a message called "The Price of a Mother." And that one, what I did is I calculated all the things that moms do in the house, and if you had to pay for them instead of mom doing it, how much it would cost you. You go bankrupt, because the price of a mother is priceless. On our 25th anniversary, my mom joined us. And that was rare, because normally she was with us for Easter, but with my sister for Mother's Day, and I was able to preach a message called "A Son's Tribute." And I was able to honor my mother while she's alive still. And so that was wonderful. I also discovered as I went back through these sermons that there were some times that we would honor moms with a PowerPoint presentation. Sometimes we'd honor them with a treat. Often we'd honor them with flowers. So as we were putting this Mother's Day together, going back to February of this year, our ministry heads and deacons were thinking, well, what can we do for this year? This is my 30th Mother's Day here at Calvary Assembly. All of a sudden, I feel old. No, I'm not feeling old. Actually, 30 years. How do we honor mom? And we had some plans that we were going to do it, some special speakers or from the congregation, some children involved, and then all of a sudden, everything got shut down. So I'm thinking, all right, how do we honor our moms? 3 years ago, I did a message called "On Mother's Knee," and I asked everyone to share some thoughts of what mom taught you. And I took all those thoughts, and from them I gleaned 4 teachings that these folks learned from their moms. And I didn't want to do that again. So I wanted to get some input from the congregation, because we're not together, but I wanted to do it as if we were together. I wanted to do a collaborative message. And I wanted to make it special. So even though we're not together, you're going to see folks, well, not really behind me, I guess in front of me. I don't know how you do it. Anyhow, you're going to see, I guess it would be on this corner down here. You're going to see some names pop up. These are some folks that sent in little lessons that they learned from their moms. And so I want to put their name popping up And I'm going to share with you the lesson they shared with me as a way to honor their mom. And then what I want to do from there is take it from what they learned and tie it into a scripture so that we can see some of the lessons. And the reason I'm doing this is it's actually biblical. It's not just because it's Mother's Day. It's biblical. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 says, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." As I went through the lessons that these folks learned, these lessons became part of their lives. These lessons became the way they did things. And so they're not forsaking their mother's teaching. And Solomon, who wrote Proverbs, most of Proverbs, goes on to say that if you listen to your father's instruction and you don't forsake your mother's teaching, here's what's going to happen. They're like a garland to grace your head. That garland was like a crown. It was a crown to grace your head and a chain, this jewelry to adorn your neck. It was a blessing to follow your mom's teachings. So, having said that, here are the folks that we're going to cover. The first one up is Letty. So I'm hoping, Letty, that you can see this, that your name is right up there in lights. So here's what Letty said. "As I think of my mom, verse Philippians 4:13 comes to my mind. Because when God called me to come home," Letty used to live in Florida, and she came back here to this area. She said, "When I came home, I didn't know how to cook, keep track of medication, or keep a big house. Every time my mom showed me how to do something, I would first say, 'I can't do that.' And then my mom would say, 'There are no no's, that I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me,' as in Philippians 4:13. So anytime I think I can't do something, I call out in the name of Jesus who gives me strength. My mom was preparing for the future as I look back now. Thank you, Mom." So Philippians 4:13 in the King James says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Whatever, as you're sitting there or watching this today, let me say this to you. Whatever God calls you to do, he will always empower you and equip you to be able to do it. You will always have the strength to do whatever God calls you to do through Christ. Well, the next one up sent in was Carol Gallinet, Carol G. And what she said is, "One of the most important lessons I learned from my mom was the importance of hospitality. From early on, my mother welcomed people into our small apartment. She fed them, she cared for them, and if necessary, gave them a place to sleep when needed. I recall coming home from school to find a young black girl having a snack at our table and being told that that girl would be sharing my bed because her father had no one to leave her with. Because of my mom's generous outlook, I developed an open-door policy in my home. On Sundays after church, my children always asked, 'So who's coming to dinner?' Throughout our life as a family, we've always been ready to entertain strangers." And that made me think of 1 Peter 4:9, where Peter says, "Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling." Notice he doesn't just say offer hospitality. He says offer it without grumbling. That one I got to work on a little bit. I kind of like hiding in my home sometimes after I've poured out to everyone. I want to hide there. My wife is certainly much more gifted in this area than I am. So that's a challenge to me. And also Hebrews 13:2 gives us this. "Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it." So thank you, Carol, for sharing your lesson from your mom. Next up is another Carol, Carol H. She said, "We didn't have much money, so she taught me to manage money carefully. She also taught me how to sew, knit, and crochet. I learned to be happy with the simple things of life. We went to church and visited with grandparents, so family life was important. She also taught me to eat healthy." And I don't want to just do a verse separate for her because I want to tag team her up with Karen. Karen said that the lessons I learned from my mom would be that she taught me how to knit and crochet. They both learned the same thing from their mom, so that's why I put them together. She said that her mom gave her tips on how to care for her children when they were young. She was also a great encourager and always took me to church so that I always had an opportunity to hear about Jesus and how much he loved me. And when I read through these two lessons that they learned from their moms, my mind went immediately to Proverbs 31 and that very practical mother who said, and it's said of her, beginning of verse 10, a wife of noble character, who can find? She's worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She's like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it's still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She's clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she's earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Next up is Dawn. Dawn says this about her mother, June. She has taught me many lessons, but one that sticks with me always, and I preach it to my family and friends, is speak positively. Don't think or speak in a negative way, because if you start speaking negatively, you'll believe that and become a very negative and unhappy person. So I always try to say positive things. June's mom, also told her, if you make a commitment, you must stick with it. And certainly we see that in June. Grandma June, we've been here 30 years, and she is as faithful as the day is long. So Dawn gave a wonderful tribute to her mom. And as I read that, I thought of scriptures like Proverbs 18:21. The tongue has the power of life and death. Those who love it will eat its fruit. Proverbs 12:18, reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. And Ephesians 4:29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So thanks, Dawn, for sharing that valuable lesson from your mom about the importance of our tongue, that we let our speech seek to build one another up rather than tear everybody down. Well, I have one from Laura W. She had this nice, succinct statement, to do the best that you can, that her mama raised her to do the best that you can. And Terry said about her mom, Wilma, work hard and help. Encourage, love the outdoors and hike. We all need Jesus. And we can certainly see Wilma saying that, and Terry picked that up. So as I listen to these two, I can't cover everything, but the best you can, work hard. Made me think of Colossians chapter 3. And I know the text on the screen says 4, but it should be chapter 3, verses 23 and 24, says this. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. Let me pause there for a minute. There are a lot of people that are working like crazy. They're like gerbils in a cage. That's not what he's saying here. He said, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as to the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it's the Lord Christ you're serving. We want everything in our lives to glorify God. So thank you, Laura and Terry, for sharing your lessons from your mom with us. Next up is Carrie. You know what? Let me see if I got that right. Yep, Carrie. Carrie said this. This is what her mom taught us. Her taught her, even if it doesn't feel okay right now, it will be okay again. And she said, this helps me in all ways. Even if it doesn't feel okay right now, it will be okay again. And without knowing it, perhaps, her mom was simply reflecting 1 Peter chapter 5. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Notice, after you suffered a little while, right now it may not be okay, but it's going to be okay. Why? Because after you suffered a little while, he will restore you and make you strong as you look to the Lord. So great lesson, Carrie, to honor your mom. Next up is Joanne. Joanne said that my parents taught us six kids to honor mother and father and respecting elders. So Jaron, is that what she said? Yeah, that'd be true. Okay. My parents taught six kids to honor mother and father and respect our elders. It was not expected of our grandparents to come looking for us, but for us to visit them, to call them. And then it was very special when they actually did visit. And we did attend church per my father. And I thought of the scripture that I read from Ephesians 6, which in itself actually is simply from the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. And Leviticus 19:32, rise in the presence of the aged, show respect for the elderly, and revere your God. I am the Lord. Joanne, that was a valuable lesson to learn, to show respect to the elders. So, great lesson. Next up is Brian. Let's see if I can get this here. Yep, Brian. He sent this up from Carolina, and he said, I've always enjoyed how my mom would say she was supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, regardless of how her day was going. She was so faithful to God that he truly affected her outlook on life. She's been gone a few years now, but I often think of her with fond memories. What a great little lesson you learned, and it reminded me of Psalm 118:24. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. If the Lord made it, we can trust and praise him. And also Romans 8:28, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. How can you not be supercalifragilisticexpialidocious when you know that God is working everything together for good in your life, and this is the day the Lord has made? Great lesson, Brian, that you share with us from your mom. Next one up is Tina. Tina said, I never lived with my mom, so I didn't know her well. But after she was saved in 1972, she taught me to stand up in the face of adversity. She taught me how to cook all things Italian. And she shared her faith relentlessly until I was saved. She prayed and read her Bible like no one I know. A warrior. She cast out demons and refused to go the way of the world. Without her, My siblings and I would probably never have been saved. Well, Tina, after reading that, I couldn't help but go to Ephesians 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground and after you've done everything to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Last Sunday, I preached a message entitled The Coronavirus Conspiracy. If you didn't get a chance to watch that, I'd encourage you to do so either on our YouTube channel. Just type in Cobleskill Calvary Assembly, or you can go to our website. We'll have a link to that message. But it talks about the fact that it isn't what we see in the natural that's the real issue. There's a supernatural foe, a dragon, who's pulling strings. And when we recognize that, we deal with it biblically. And it sounds like Tina's mom, in her own way, in her day, did the same thing for Tina to help her through. So that was great. Next up is Kim. We already had Brian. Now this is Kim C. And here's what she says. My mom taught me to be faithful and press into God and that prayers are not answered in our time, but in his. And sometimes it takes 25 years. made me think of James 4:8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Preached this a few weeks ago. I was talking about some things that haven't changed. We may have to practice social distancing. We may not be able to have businesses or churches open. We may have things be declared non-essential and postponements. But our relationship with God and our ability to come into his presence has no such restrictions. We can draw near to God, and he will draw near to us. And I also thought of Matthew 7. It says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be open. Now, Kim, if you notice in her lesson she learned, she said, prayers are not answered in our time. Sometimes it takes 25 years. And you read this passage, ask and it will be given. It seems as if it's like, boom, ask, done. But that word ask and that word seek and that word knock all are what we would call a present imperative, which means ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. 2 weeks ago, I had to swing by the food pantry to be able to pick up some food to deliver to people, and I went to the door, and I went, and I walked away because they didn't answer. No, of course not. I knew they were there. They knew I was coming. Push the doorbell. Call them on the phone. Hello, I'm here. And they opened up the door. They just hadn't heard. Well, God is not like anyone on earth. When we pray to him, he hears our prayers. And sometimes we just have to pray through because God's changing us in the prayer process. And sometimes we've got to pray through because there's some interference in the demonic realm that you got to just pray through. So you keep praying until something happens. So thank you, Kim, for sharing that lesson with us. Next one up is Vivian. Vivian said, Mom and I really didn't have a healthy mother-daughter relationship. She had difficulties in her personal life, and she made some bad choices for both of us. And so it created difficulties for me. Yet, she stayed. Though there were times she gave up in certain situations because she didn't know what to do, she stayed. She didn't wander off into the wild blue yonder, never to be seen or heard from again. When I was incarcerated at age 11 and had court appearances, she showed up. When I had visitation rights, she shared her one-room rental with me. She did her best to accommodate a celebration for my 16th birthday in her one-room rental. She stayed. At the time, she was a young woman in her late 30s, mid-40s. I don't know how she survived all alone by herself. I lived my life jumping from one situation into another. She suffered through many situations, being mugged, having rocks thrown at her by kids in the neighborhood. Then, even I abandoned her at one point. Yet she never judged me. She kept silent and always wished me well. But she stayed. She stayed as part of my life until the good Lord decided to take her quietly in her sleep at age 72. The point that stands out for me is this, she said. She stayed. Despite all of the inconsistencies, do I call that perseverance? I'm not sure. When it comes to Mama, I'm never sure except that she stayed. She said, if you can use this, please do. Maybe it'll help someone else sort things out. I guess my takeaway from how Mama impacted my life is this. Through my own personal difficulties, through my own bad choices, like mother, like daughter, I'm still here. There were times throughout the years that I wished I could have had the courage to end it all, but I'm still here. Like Mama, she stayed, and I'm still here. Good thing. I finally encountered Jesus waiting for me to wake up. Vivian, I thought of the passage from Hebrews 13. Keep your lives free from the love of money. Be content with what you have because God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? He stayed, Vivian. Jesus stayed. In fact, he didn't just stay. He came after you, which reminded me of Luke 15. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. And then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who did not need to repent. Vivian, your mother stayed. And because she stayed, she taught you to stay. Because you stayed, Jesus found you, and heaven rejoiced. We have one more that came in. This is from Kimberly. Kimberly said, "My mom has taught me what servanthood and sacrificial love mean. She's always willing to put aside her own plans to step in and meet the needs of others, and she sacrifices herself for those she loves. There are so many examples of these, but here are a few. When I was a baby, my mom was carrying me down some icy steps and slipped. Protecting me so I wouldn't get hurt, her arms were unavailable to stop her from falling, and she ended up with a broken leg while I was unharmed. When I was young and needed to be picked up from school, mom didn't have a car, so she put my little brother and sister on the front and backpacks and biked to school, putting me in the child seat on the back of the bike and biking me home. She quickly took off from work to visit me and at least one or two of my other siblings when I was struggling at college. She took off from work to help me after my C-section, even though her own back was hurting her. She spent countless hours making or helping to make VBSs, Girl Scouts, kids' churches, quest clubs, and more amazing. She started a Girl Scout troop because there wasn't one for my sister's age. She started a quest club specifically for all of her homeschooled grandchildren to spend time together and learn to have fun. She's always been welcoming of anyone into her home, like on holidays for those who are alone. She and my dad, of course, have loaned out the use of their car countless times when people were in need. She changed her work schedule when my sister needed childcare for her kids. She has helped with, and the list goes on. I love my mom. And even though I'm not nearly as serving and self-sacrificing as she is, she's given me a great example, and she's always encouraging. And certainly I could have used the same scriptures for Kimberly's mom as I did for Carol with hospitality, but instead I thought of 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And Kimberly, I trust that that displays, it describes how your mom was with you, that she was there for you, she blessed you, and she was simply reflecting the love of her Heavenly Father. Now, I thought Kimberly was the last, but I actually have one more. This is from Barry. His wife Carol already went, but Barry said this, "My mother taught me a good work ethic." There's that same theme again. We talked about whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. "She taught me to respect people." Well, there it is again. That's what Joanne taught, was taught by her mom. "She taught me to be helpful to our neighbors. She always tried her best as a single parent with her aging parents living with us. She took me and my friends fishing, even though she would get seasick." That's great. And that also is a display, Barry, of the love that is spoken of there in 1 Corinthians 13. So these are folks that helped me today. If they were here, they would be standing behind this pulpit. They would be sharing their testimonies. So I got a chance to do it for them, but it was a collaborative effort for all of us together to share some of those memories. And let me finish with just one more. And this one isn't anyone sent in. This is mine. My mom is watching this as it's being broadcast. She's going to be watching this. I made sure with my sister. My mom hasn't been able to be with us for months because of everything being shut down. So she stayed with my sister in Rochester with her family. But I asked my sister to make sure my mom was watching this. And I just want to say, Mom, thank you for how many lessons you taught me. And there are two that stand out. One of them can be spelled with one word, love. Mom, you are liquid love and liquid joy. If someone squeezes you, love and joy come out for sure. You were determined that we would be, not just be it, but know that we were unconditionally loved by you. There was nothing. It didn't matter if we were up or down, good or bad. You loved us. And I thank you, Mom, because that love taught me how to love people. It was the love of the Father in you that you gave to us and that allowed me to learn to love people as well. And Mom, you made sure that the love you gave us was not restricted to people like us. You made sure we loved everybody. That's why you took us with us to the nursing homes when we were kids to feed those who were older, the little treats that you made for them. And those that were diabetic, you had the special treats for them. I remember. and why you took us to have cross-cultural experiences before that was a big thing, because you were determined that we weren't going to love based upon the color of the skin. You were determined we were going to love because God created people in his image. Mom, thank you. I don't have to work at loving people. I don't have to work at relationship because you taught me to love, and I thank you. And I also thank you, Mom, for a second lesson that you taught me that you probably remember when I jog your memory. I was about 9 years of age, and at that age, I was starting to feel a stirring towards pastoral ministry, and it freaked me out. I remember running to you saying, "Oh, Mom, God won't make me a pastor, will he?" And you looked at me with your kind eyes, and you had the wisdom of the Holy Spirit that day, because you said to me, "Son, don't worry. Whatever God calls you to do, you'll be happy doing it." And I thought, yes, I'm off the hook, because I'm not happy about the thought of being a pastor. 8 years later, Mom, God stirred me again. I had been elected president of our church youth group, and I was leading one of the youth group meetings, and all of a sudden there was this sense, this is what you're going to be called to do. Mom, I fought that for years, but you prayed for me. You knew God had called me, but you didn't force it. You waited and you prayed. And 3 years later, 4 years later, God and I had it out. And I said to the Lord, I said, "Why is it that everybody else gets to do what they want to do and I can't?" See, I wanted, when I was in junior high, I wanted to be a lawyer. I love debating. I love demolishing people with arguments. That's something I'm still being sanctified in. I admit that. But then I went to high school and I took a science course. Oh my. I fell in love. Biology, chemistry, physics, advanced bio, dissections. Oh my gosh, I want to be a doctor. I wanted to either be a pediatrician, Mom, or I wanted to be a brain surgeon. You knew that, or study the brain, and you knew that. But you kept praying, and you kept believing and waiting. And then after God and I had it out, it was as if the Lord said, "Fine, if you don't want to, I'm not going to make you." And it was as if the Lord took his hand off me, Mom. By the end of the week, I was so miserable. I got on my face before God and I said, "If you put back that call of God on my life, I will never question or look back again." Mom, that was possible because at 9 years of age, you had the wisdom to say that whatever God calls you to do, you'll be happy doing it. You were right, Mom. I can't imagine doing anything else and being happy. So, happy Mother's Day, Mom. From 200 miles away, I love you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that today we were able to hear some lessons, maybe not the way we expected. We thought we'd be sharing testimonies and having the children up here, but hopefully, Lord, it was enough for people to be able collaboratively to help me put a sermon together to say Happy Mother's Day. Some folks have already had to say goodbye to Mom. She's in heaven with you. And so for them, it's a Mother's Day, but it still hurts. We pray for comfort for them. Again, for those, Lord, whose experiences with moms may not have been the best, we pray that they would at least be able to see that you bless them with life because their mother chose life. And I pray that if there's anything there that can be healed, that you would restore. And Lord, if it's too much in the sense that it's gone, there's nothing they can do to restore it, that they would be able to move forward in faith, knowing that there are no accidents in your kingdom. And although it may not have been what we thought we needed, in your wisdom, Lord, it helped shape and form us to the person that we are. I think of Vivian's story. She stayed. And Lord, I thank you for each story that was shared today. Each story that was shared from the hearts of these that wanted to honor their moms. Thank you that we choose to not forsake our father's instruction or our mother's teaching, but we take it to heart based upon the word of God and build our lives on the solid rock of your word. Lord, have mercy upon your people today. Touch those, Lord, who are sick and suffering. Continue, Lord, to give wisdom to those in authority for decisions that need to be made, both on the church level and on the governmental levels, so that we can gather again together in this place as in one day, better as one day, Lord. We're looking forward to that day we can be together again. We honor and bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Go in the grace of our God. Amen.